And I'm going to mute the line as well. And our first speaker today is Jeff from Seattle. He will be offering his experience, strength, and hope in regards to his journey in BDA. And Jeff Kelly will give you a 10-minute, a 5-minute, and a 1-minute warning during your share. You'll need to *6 to unmute yourself. And we are looking forward to hearing you share. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Kate. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. My name's Jeff. I'm a compulsive debtor. And Kelly and Mary Jane and Kate asked me to speak at about 5 o'clock yesterday. So if I sound unprepared, that's because I didn't prepare. And that's okay. I've learned that I am enough, and if I allow my higher power to speak through me, the message will be conveyed. All right. As a format, I thought I would do the traditional what it was like, what happened, how it's different. So I'm going to go with that. And a little background on me. I've been in DA for 10 years. DA is my first program. It's my only program. I've worked the steps twice, and I can't stay on for the rest of the call due to problems of abundance or prosperity, which are very exciting, and I'll get into at the end. When I came into DA, so what it was like when I came in, I had no faith. I actually did believe that there was some sort of higher power, but higher powers not looking out for me was best ambivalent to me, might even be rooting against me. I came in with, when I stopped debting, I had $84,629 in debt. It took me about 18 months after I started DA to stop debting. And through the grace of my higher power, I've paid down 24.7% of my debt. It would be easy for me. In fact, I sometimes go to the place of I'm not doing enough, because I hear stories of people paying off their debt in a year. And I know that, in my better moments, I have faith that it's happening in God's time and it's not up to me. And I speak in specifics because it keeps me out of vagueness. I work my program for me, and if I can be of service, I certainly take the opportunity, but I might work the program a little bit differently than other people because of my experience prior. So what I was experiencing when I came into DA was anger, resentment, jealousy, judgment, self-judgment, judgment of others. I had had an abundant life in my 30s, and I came into DA in my 40s. So in my 30s, I was living my dream. I had a job in a creative field that paid well. I had a family. I was married, no kids. And I was doing my leisure time activity, which is surfing. I would do that sometimes 3 times a day. I couldn't believe the abundance in my life. But like I said before, I had no faith and didn't really see the need for faith. Over the course of some circumstances and decisions I made, so external circumstances and internal decisions I made, I found myself in my 40s in a very different circumstance. I'd spent my life savings trying to make a business go. I've had PRGs, many PRGs, and worked the steps a few times around the resentment that came up around what I'll say in shorthand, losing everything. It continues to be a source of resentment for me. And like I said, in my better moments, I turn it over to my higher power and the resentment's lifted. Let's see. So I'm not going to dwell on what it was like. I'll just say it was hard and it continues to be hard at times. But more often than not now, I'm experiencing the benefits of the program, the promises coming true. For me, the big change was being willing to have faith. It took a few years of just being willing, really even just being willing to be willing. That's what I was encouraged, because, you know, in the beginning I was like, yeah, that faith stuff works for other people. It doesn't work for me. Here's why. And I was asked, are you willing to be willing to have faith? And yeah, sure, I was willing to be willing. And then I became willing, and then I found one day I had faith, and things have only gotten better from there. The way I deal with prosperity, one of the things I heard early on was rich people like paperwork. And that made sense to me because abundance means there's more details in my life. Things like I went from subletting on a rent situation to renting, that was suddenly more paperwork. Then I bought a house, that was suddenly more paperwork. So, you know, that's been my experience I want to use the word management, and it's true at a certain level, but I certainly am not running the show, so I'm not managing. I'm just letting myself be guided to the next right step around what needs to be managed. And that was challenging getting there. I used to, you know, want to run the abundance in my life or run the scarcity in my life. And for me, that word scarcity really sums up what led me to DA. Even when I was living an abundant life, I would tell myself, this can't last. This is too good to be true. I don't deserve this. It's all going to go away. And it turns out that all was true. It didn't last. I don't know that it couldn't last, but it didn't last. It did all go away. And that scarcity thinking, like, it was confirmation to me that I was right. Scarcity thinking is the way to operate. There's never going to be enough. What I've learned in DA is wherever I put my energy, that's what I get back. And sometimes it's just a tiny whisper of getting something back or a tiny reflection. Something that's easy for me, the newcomer, because I always see myself as a newcomer. It's easy to see that. It's hard to see that reflection, or it's hard to hear that tiny voice saying, you're taken care of. Because all I see is the wreckage I'm creating and the wreckage of my decisions and circumstances. It's easy for me, or it was easy for me, to just sit in that and wallow in that and sort of expect to be taken care of. But again, what I've seen in others and experienced myself to a degree is that
that's 10 minutes.
Thank you. The the inner narrative that I carry through my day is what's reflected physically, materially, in what I experience. And, you know, it can be the same material thing. It can be a cup of coffee, and I'm like, look at that cup of coffee, it's getting cold. That's my scarcity thinking. My abundance thinking is, wow, thanks for the cup of coffee. I didn't even have to make that cup of coffee. It just showed up. So it's the same material experience, but it's my inner experience that lets me experience the abundance of that moment. And what I'm learning is life is just a series of moments. There's no, you know, I can plan, and I do, and I can track my earning and my spending, which I do. But it really ends up that I don't experience, you know, the future. I experience the now. And I don't experience the past. I experience the now. And if I get caught up in the future or the past, it decreases my serenity. And it puts blinders on. I put blinders on and earplugs in my ears, and I don't see or hear the abundance that is actually in my life. So then it feels like my life isn't abundant. Now, dealing with prosperity, so by the miracle of DA, my wife and I own a home. That is a whole other story that is much too long to tell here, but we own a home in Seattle, and we're moving to LA in January. We actually set the move date yesterday, and that's really an expression of higher power looking out for me in a way that I can't see, because I'm not really excited to move to LA. My wife really wants to, and it makes sense for her business to be there, but I'm just feeling like I have a place here now, and it's really uncomfortable, and I get the opportunity, that discomfort reminds me that I have an opportunity now to practice what I've learned, which is stay out of scarcity, focus on abundance, turn over the outcomes. What I'm practicing is just saying yes. So the list of things that I'm dealing with to manage my prosperity is long. Things like health insurance. What do we do in the gap? What do we do with a house in Seattle? What do we do? At one point, I thought I was going to owe a lot of money to register my car. Turns out that may not be true. But I don't know, and I can't know until I get more information. So the way it used to be was, I think I knew, and I'd worst case scenario that into feeling bad about myself and my situation. What I know now is, wow, this is discomfort, and I have discomfort now. If I practice the tools of DA, keeping my numbers, doing outreach, going to meetings, being of service, then there's a chance that I'll see it from an abundant perspective, and I can then, the true abundance of this opportunity is revealed to me. And little by little, that's coming true. So I'm really grateful to the program of DA, because what it's done is reveal how abundant my life could be. And I've learned to allow that abundance to come into my life, which has increased the level of detail that I'm dealing with, things like insurance, selling the house or renting the house, getting a new job, all of that's super overwhelming. Just dealing with the move, we've got like, I think it's 3 spending plans just around moving, on top of the other family plans and things like that. And
5 minutes.
Sure. Thank you. It's interesting to me that right now, both the family account the family checking account and my personal checking account are at the lowest point they've been for years. And it would be easy for me to look at those numbers and say, that's who I am. I screwed it all up. And just hold on to that. And whether that's true or not, I don't know. What I do know is, because we've saved in other areas like vacation, my wife and I are going to Whistler for the Thanksgiving break. So that's incredible abundance. But if I just look at what the amount of money in my checking account and look at when my next paycheck's coming, it would be really easy for me to say there's not enough and I screwed it up again. And, you know, just go back to the old way. But it's not true, because I can look at these other accounts and say, wow, we've got X to go away and I'm taken care of. So that's what I've learned. I'm going to share some things my sponsor has taught me. And I've had a few sponsors, but one is he would tell me, I might be wrong, but I'm happy. And this was to do with faith. Like, maybe there is no higher power. I'm going to choose to believe there is a higher power. Maybe I'm wrong to believe I do have a higher power, and I'm happy that I have a relationship with my higher power. That works for me a lot. Another thing he told me was, when abundance shows up in my life, say to myself, I love this. I'd like more. I'd like more with bells and whistles. Thank you. And then just get out of the way, get on with my day. So I'm experiencing all these visions coming true, and it's, you know, I'm getting to practice the first tradition of unity, because my wife and I aren't completely aligned around the vision of moving to LA, but I like being married and I like, and by practicing the tools of DA, I've experienced all this incredible stuff that I couldn't have possibly imagined for myself.
1 minute.
And thanks. So I'll wrap up by saying, I have the same emotions of anger, resentment, jealousy, and judgment that I did before I came into DA. But what I have now, what's different is I have a different relationship to those emotions. And when they come up, I have tools I can turn to that, if they don't remind me of the abundance in my life, they certainly increase my serenity. And my job is to take the next right action. I didn't get to everything I was going to talk about, but thank you for letting me share today. And I'm not going to be able to stay on the call because I have to pack to move to Los Angeles. So thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Jeff, for your service. Thank you for jumping on after we lost out one of our speakers. Thank you. Our second speaker is Helena from New York, and she will be offering her experience, strength, and hope in regards to her journey in BDA. Helena, we're happy to have you on this call. Kelly will give you the same, a 10-minute, a 5-minute, and a 1-minute warning. We are looking forward to hearing you. Thank you, Helena.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, yep. Thank you. Hi, everybody. I'm Helena, and I'm gratefully recovering in DA and BDA. So, happy Black Friday-ish feeling. I got so many phone calls from people this week who were especially stressed out. And I do think that feeling is in the air. And so I feel it too. I feel it too. I've gotten phone calls from people who are just jonesing, you know, to buy stuff. And I'm reminded that, there are triggers in this program. And this is a pretty good time for a lot of them to kick in, you know, family, flying, we practice awareness in this program, and I heard a news story about dark patterns that when we go shopping online, they don't give us the right information because they actually have computer programs that have figured out if we're impulsive, how to trigger us. So they'll say, there's only two of these left. And if you don't buy these airline tickets right now, the next time you go back, they're going to be more expensive. You know, we're human. And people try to figure out how to get us to do their will. And the point of this program, I believe, one of the biggest points is that question of will. Here it looks like in my search, the word will occurs in the big books 568 times. I think that's a pretty important word then. And I think for most of us, doesn't matter if we're, you know, coming in from any 12-step program, but of course, especially keeping the focus in our own, there really is a need to focus on the difference between using our will in a way that helps us, which is by being willing, and willfulness, which is I can guarantee 10 times out of 10 what is going on when we get stuck. We have let go of our relationship to our higher power, and we've gone into some old behaviors. Who knows? Maybe they were modeled for us. Maybe they're just old bad habits. Maybe they were passed down for generations. Maybe they're in a response to stress. Maybe somebody gave us a complex about money in our family, even if they had a lot of it. Maybe some people didn't have confidence in the way we spent money. Maybe nobody ever taught us how to do this, and we just didn't know. Somebody took care of our needs, and we had to learn, you know, a painful lesson about how to be independent. And when you're a small business owner, especially the last bunch of years, there've been some real challenges. Trying to start up your own business without any funds, you know, is challenging. And the temptation to use credit cards is overwhelming because, you know, you try to just get a leg up and a jump start as a small business owner. And then next thing you know, you have to deal with banks and lawyers and accountants, and they have their willfulness too. I love that this program reminds us that it's about us and our relationship to our higher power, but we don't make these other people our higher power. I can't tell you how many times I've been in situations where that saved my butt, even in medical situations. You know, listen to yourself. Align yourself with your higher power and make him your business partner. When we pray, we ask to be relieved of the bondage of self, that I may be better to do thy will. It's all about the proper use of the will, according to page 85 in the big book. You can stop the debting behavior. You can discard those feelings when you're dealing with habits. Maybe our will is too weak. Maybe we don't apply our will in the situations we need to. Maybe we make judgments about situations without doing all the research, and we're caught in that. It's so easy to complain, you know, about everything and to get caught up in that. When we do, personally exerting ourselves? Are we conforming to God's will for the situation? They say there's no such thing as a personal conquest of our compulsions by the unaided will. So we really need to get in touch with what this thy will and my will are. I think the experience of any alcoholic or addict will abundantly confirm this issue. When we approach the will by the 12-step process, we can accomplish so many things that we thought we couldn't change about ourselves. When there's a lot wrong with us or a lot going wrong around us, then we really need to get a good grasp on the will, because we need to know what our side of the fence is, because that's really the only place that we can operate from. When I have clients in my business and it's not working for me and I start to see their willfulness come up, you know, I pray, I do, I connect with my higher power, and I say, wow, I might be 12-stepping somebody around their money issues, because there are people, plenty of people outside a program who've got huge money issues. And I set boundaries quickly. You know, if somebody starts to try to control me and my money or other aspects of my business, I can be polite about it and say, this doesn't work for me. You know, I mean, I factor into the equation here. You know, I'm here to be of service. I'm here to help, but that doesn't mean I'm your doormat. That doesn't mean that I don't have needs in my business that I expect to be fulfilled. And that's why I have contracts. I had a contract that really saved me this week from a client who, was escalating over the charges and wanted me to adjust them retroactively for like 6 months. No, that doesn't work. And the time that was spent had to be charged. You know, he didn't like that, but it was right there in the contract, and I had given more than enough time to the situation already. You know, but I needed to let them know this wasn't going to work. And as soon as it started to escalate, I bowed out of it and ended the relationship. But I knew that relationship was going to end in August, when the credit card was first declined that he was using for payments. So I immediately went into replacing that client, and I have much better clients. I wake up in the morning and I go to work and I love what I do. I love what I do. And when clients come to me, it's a joy, and it makes my day really, really so much easier when I know I have these really nice clients to look forward to. And they come back to me, and we stay in touch with them, and we have a joyful relationship. I don't need to grovel in front of clients who are just, let's just be generous and call them mischievous, but they have their own stuff that's going on, you know, and I can, in a very nice way, detach from it. I don't have to detach with an axe. I can put myself, thank you. I can put my best self out there and say, hey, this is what's going on. And that applies to all my other relationships as well. You know, I could just get the information, do my research, you know, when I'm buying equipment or when I'm renting. I mean, I've cut my business expenses down, to a quarter of what they were about 7 years ago, and that's an abundance. That's one form of an abundance. And there are other issues. I know we were talking in our meeting about how prosperity is a strange thing when we start to experience it. And I want to speak to that a little bit. I certainly am much more familiar with deprivation and with, that black and white behavior. You know, money comes in and okay, I worked hard, let's spend it all, you know, or let's just not look. Let's just not look for once at our balances and all the other things that we need to do in life. Let's just go out and close our eyes because we've earned the ability to just not have to look at our numbers for one day. You know, it doesn't work. Now, I'm much more comfortable with the money comes in. I sit with it for 48 hours, maybe. And I look at my spending plan, I look at my visions and my goals, and in a very measured way, I allocate those funds. And it might be a third, a third, a third. You know, it might be a third to bills now, a third to spend now, a third for the future, you know, something along those lines. When I get large numbers of large numbers of invoices that come in all at once. And you know, the other thing I noticed is where I am at tells me very, very much where I feel my business is going to go. If I have off days and I'm feeling tight, you know, that can immediately energetically affect my work and my business. So besides trying to have a spending plan and an action plan, I try to navigate where I am in relationship to my power throughout the day, because alone I really can't do it. You know, I might do it, but I'll probably slip into my old behaviors. So when I keep myself grounded and, you know, upbeat to a reasonable point, and my visions are starting to come true, you know, then I know I'm in the right place. And I've had many visions come true for me in DA and BDA, because I've been at this. This will be my 40th anniversary. So I can tell you that where I am now is so different from where I was before, but I could also tell you that when we become complacent, we can relapse. You know, a lot of those issues that I have, they were there for a long time. I was born into them, you know, so they're my default mode. So the transmission can shift into that idling gear. And now the volume has gone down quite a bit. You know, I'm going closer to the speed limit. You know, I'm not racing or stalling. You know, I live more in that gray area instead of the black and white extremes of behavior, you know. But I can get jazzed. There was an issue with my car insurance yesterday, and I got so worked up about it that I thought I'd lost my cell phone, and I don't have to tell anybody what that feels like. And it turns out it had fallen out of my pocket in the car, out of my jacket. I hadn't noticed it. But I was literally blind to finding this thing, and I really needed to. Luckily, I was on my way to see a movie with my niece and great nieces, and I had been trying to upgrade my understanding of Frozen 2. I love Frozen 1 and singing Let It Go, because that could be a theme song for most of us, I think. But my body was still... Thank you.
Five more minutes.
Yeah, my body was not letting go. You know, my nervous system was tight as a drum, you know, and all I could do is pray, keep trying to connect to my higher power, and the more I did that, the more I could literally physically see, you know, because when I'm blinded by that rage, by that intensity, by that fear, I literally can't see. And as I got better, I was able to see what I needed to see to find the phone. But what was the trigger? You know, it was a bill and documentation, and you know, these things happen in life. Maybe other people could get over them better, But at that moment, it was a really big trigger for me. So I loved myself back into feeling okay about it, and I thought about some of the reasons. Doing that mini inventory, the 10, 11, 12, in these situations is so helpful. And I do journal. I do my inventory.
1 minute warning.
Thank you. So just to wrap it up, just because things are going better and we're getting prosperous doesn't mean that that's unfamiliar territory for us, and we need to be gentle with ourselves and do same care just the way that when we feel we're in deprivation. So the more we acknowledge the symptoms of these diseases anecdotally and speaking and sharing with each other, I think the better that we get, and the more we can identify them as this program grows. So that's it for me. Anything else you want me to say?
That was perfect. Thank you, Helena. Thank you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. So appreciate it. And also acknowledging that you also stepped in when we lost our other speaker. So thank you so much for that. Our third speaker today is Mary Jane from New Orleans. Mary Jane will be offering her experience, strength, and hope in regards to her BDA journey. Mary Jane, we're so happy to have you on this call. Same timing for Kelly, a 10-minute, a 5-minute, and a 1-minute. And we are looking forward to hearing you. Thanks, Mary
Jane. Thank you so much. Thanks, Kate. Okay, can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Awesome. Hi, everyone. My name is Mary Jane. I'm a recovering debtor from New Orleans, Louisiana, in the United States. And I am crying right now because it has just been so good to hear everyone. And I want to pre-start by saying this prayer that my not current but previous sponsor taught me, which was, God, please speak with my lips. Please think with my thoughts. Please love with my heart. Please hear with my ears. So the reason I am crying is because I deeply feel affected by this disease right now. And I'm considering the title for this call. I'm actually on this committee, on the BDA committee, and I have loved this service this year. But the title for our call, or this call, is Dealing with Prosperity. And I was thinking, that's exactly where I am. I am dealing. I'm not beautifully embracing and like frolicking. I am in that place of dealing, of trying to manage. And so I have experienced all kinds of, the fear of success signposts. As I would bullet them out for myself. And I was talking to my sponsor midweek this week, and I said, I'm supposed to speak on this call, and I don't feel qualified to speak on this call because I'm not through it. Like, I don't have, like, a beautiful, this is how I moved through prosperity, and now I'm comfortable with it. And she said, Mary Jane, this is the perfect time to speak on the call. And she said there's a phrase that you often that is often said more in the AA program, which is stay green. And I am very green right now. I am I am ashamed of a lot of these feelings that I'm having. So I thought maybe since it's a 20-minute share, which is a beautifully prosperous amount of time, I'm just going to give that kind of what it was like, what happened, and where I am, because I am experiencing an unbelievable amount of prosperity in my life that is extremely uncomfortable. There's also been stuff recently that has also affected that. So I just want to start off and say my solvency date is March 14th, 2013. I came in September 6th of 2000. Is that right? Oh, gosh. Right before then, the September before. And it was very difficult for me to keep my numbers, and it was so hard for me just to get clear around the numbers and keep them on a day-to-day because I felt so much comfort in vagueness. And I was actually sharing at a meeting yesterday that I was working a job. I was working as a personal assistant when I came into the program, which sounds glorified, or it sounded glorified to me then. But what it was I was like washing a woman's clothes. I was like helping to clean her house, to de-dust, whatever that word is, remove the dust from her like artifacts that she had. And then also I would cook her food that she got from the farmer's market. And I remember like she would pay me each day via check. And usually it was 4 hours, and she would round up from $48 to $50, and I would hoard the checks. Like, I would not cash them, sometimes for, like, 3 weeks. So I'd have a stack of checks, and I would, like, watch them. And then I would get to deposit, like, $700 or $900 in a bank account. But I loved this, like, feeling of, like, depriving myself and the bank account number getting low and then, like, beautifully, like, throwing in all this money. And it was it's just like amazing how like that type of behavior was insanity, but it made me feel like it made me feel secure. So I want to read I want to read step two real quickly because there is insanity to how I am also behaving on the flip side, which is my way of dealing with prosperity. So I came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, which implies that there is insanity happening. Okay, so when I came into DA, I was working as a personal assistant for a woman, and this was in 2013. And I would reach out, and I started getting like increasingly resentful about this job. And part of it was because she didn't work, and I felt like people should work. And I also had a roommate at the time who I lived with, and her parents would pay for her, like everything. Like she could just be an artist. And I was like super resentful that I was working and she was watching shows. Like it really, really affected me. And so I had these like deep judgments about what people should do and what people shouldn't do. But I also had judgments about what people who had money were like and what people who didn't have money were like. And I deeply felt defined by the money I made, and I felt like having more money or being able to buy certain things, it was like a club I couldn't join, and there was really no way that I could join that arena except one little way, which is a belief that I grew up with, which was I would have a partner who would somehow invite me to that room. And that is that I came by that belief. Honestly, that is definitely a belief that I learned through my family and my parents. But unfortunately, I was also like, the under-earning or like the self-debting capacities that I was doing with money, I mean, showed up in every area of my life, in friendships, in the way I showed up as a friend. This is showing up, this is in my inventory, my 6 and 7 steps. I would always put people on pedestals, and it was like I was asking them to kind of show me how to be in this world because I deeply didn't feel capable of, like, being a human, being a human with worth, and that someone would just be friends with me because I intrinsically was valuable. Like, that didn't really compute for me. So I had a lot of stuff going on when I came into the room. And the thing that I would get, I guess the thing that was I would hang my hat on, which is I love that in DA people reached out regularly. Or like people, it was like there was a lot of service and a lot of support. And even though in New Orleans, where I go to DA, the rooms are small, and we didn't at the time have a lot of members in the meeting. Unlike my other program, which is more about relationships, there were these things like TRGs, and people were like, it was very much that thing of like you had to give service to keep it, like you had to give away what you got in order to keep it, in order to continue to grow. And so I found that was true, and I felt like I was much more likely to reach out and ask for help and get support and take action calls and make action calls. Okay, So I would call, and I kept getting the feedback of, like, just be willing to be of service in your job. Like, just be willing to be of service. Think of this as, like, being of service. And so I did. And the first kind of moment of big kind of stepping into prosperity for me was I noticed that the woman that I was cooking for loved my food. And I also noticed, and I got feedback from people that, like, I was really good at cooking, and it was, like, a creative outlet for me. And it was something that that I really enjoyed doing. And so I stepped into that world more, and I started kind of marketing myself and getting more people, clients, or people that I would go in and cook in their homes. And these were generally, like, rich people who could hire. And I'm saying rich people because I'm speaking in the lexicon of which my brain operated then. So I was like, who are my clients? My clients are people who want to have someone cook food for them, and they don't want to do it themselves. So I started putting myself out there, and I started also hearing about visibility in this program and how we become willing to be visible. We become willing to take action. And this isn't a program of meditating and, like, somehow I was going to manifest making more money. It was about taking action. And so slowly I kind of, like, moved into having my own business, which was becoming a chef, which sounds pretty odd to me to say out loud even now, which is funny. But I ended up getting clients that way of just being a service. And
just 2 minutes.
Thank you so much, Kelly. And I remember, like, my first job of when I was cooking for, like, a bachelor party or something, I was telling someone this morning, I went to get chef jackets, and I made a program call, and I said, I don't know what I should put on the jacket. Like, do I put my name? And the person in program said, what would be the most visible? What would be the most, like, standing in your own prosperity and showing up for yourself in your business? And I said, well, I'm going to put my name, and then I'll put the word chef underneath it. And so I did. And it was, like, unbelievably scary and uncomfortable. And, of course, I had all the thoughts of, like, people are going to think you're a fraud and a fake. And the truth is people were hiring me to be their chef for their events. So I was doing that. And I started my business, and I was operating in a way where everything was going in one fund. It was all of my personal accounts. I didn't know about BDA. We didn't have a BDA meeting in New Orleans, and I didn't attend them, or may have attended a few online on the phone. And I should say that really that the most important thing for me is, the most important thing about DEA is keeping our numbers and not debting. So, like, this vision work that came out of that practice, like, the foundation had to be there. Like, it took me a while to get my numbers straight and, like, just make sure that I was operating the spending plan and, you know, working my steps and working with a sponsor and all that stuff. But then working towards the vision was, like, this beautiful thing. And I heard someone say in program when I started actually, when all of my work came out of that vision work of being a chef, that this person said, you know, sometimes people don't ever get an opportunity to earn in their vision, and here you are doing it. Well, about 2 years later, in the beginning of 2018, I had been building my new vision, and I highlighted in our vision pamphlet this line it is important to be aware that as we progress in recovery, our vision may change or expand. And that started to happen to me, for me. I had this secret vision that, you know, because I was such a self-debtor and I really didn't feel like I had work, my vision, the work that I do is completely different now. I don't work with food. I work in a capacity of being of service to other people. I won't say what I do, because I just want to keep this anonymous and about the program. But I started another business, and in 2018, it was also concurrent. That January, we had started a BDA meeting, And I started putting into place BDA tool 4. We pay ourselves a salary, including benefits, medical insurance, vacations, and sick days. So January of 2014 was the first time my business operating account was receiving all the money, and I started paying myself a salary which could support my personal spending plan, which was incredible what that did for me, because when I started doing that, it was like literally I started separating myself from my business. So it was just this thing where when I was identifying with the with my business too much, it was like my business was separate, my business pays for me, I am not my business. And the beautiful other thing is, so 2018 was a prosperous year for me and my business. It completely supported me, completely paid my taxes, had started building a beautiful business savings. Now 2019 has been a completely different story. So I'm going to get to that real quickly. So what I didn't realize with this gift of paying myself a salary was that no matter what, I was spending within that spending plan with what my business was paying me. I was also saving money in a personal savings for vacations and just my prudent reserve from that salary I was paying myself through PRGs, which I've had pretty much monthly, and then given generally aim to give 2 monthly and get 1. I have given myself raises, and one of the things I struggle with is I did an inventory this year where I only took 2 days off, and I do track my time because I can get vague with time, but
it's been 5 minutes.
Thanks so much, Kelly. So I took 2 days off, and that's going to be part of my vision for 2020 to be much more to use time for self-care and take more vacations and really honor what I need in order to show up for my business. Okay, so with the 4 minutes and 40 seconds I have left, I'll say that dealing with prosperity has been incredibly difficult for me. In April of 2019, I earned more than I ever imagined earning in a month. And I felt myself dissociate from the spending plan. I looked at it and I could literally feel like that's not me. That's not me. And I panicked. Everything just felt like it was jumbled. I started feeling like everything was going to fall apart. So it's continued to increase. October, and in about June and July, I had some real tough life changes. My sponsor in my first program went into hospice, and she was like a rock. She's 87, 88. She's dying. And, God, it was like so incredibly difficult for me. And my sponsor in DA, our relationship changed, and it became complicated. And that was tough for me, too. And so that relationship left. And then the person that I had dated, which I, the thing about DA is not only due to our financial situation, but all of our relationships changed. And that was not what I was prepared for. But I dated someone where like the relationship was extremely prosperous in terms of kindness and generosity and care and the capacity to listen to each other. And that relationship ended. And I experienced an incredible amount of paralysis in my work and burnout. And so October was my most prosperous month in terms of finances. The best I could do, and I'm still struggling with this, is like do my numbers and show up for the work. But in terms of, like, filling my pipeline, in terms of, like, trying to get more work and continuing to market myself, I really have struggled with it. And you know what I'm dealing with? Like, a tremendous amount of grief. I have a new sponsor in DA, and she it's been wonderful to work with her. And I'll just say I am carrying around these 4 cards He's with step six, my step six and my step seven behavior on either side. And my step six, one of them is paralysis around taking action, which has to do with grief. And my step seven behavior is on the other side. So I read it, you know, when I'm having that feeling. And my step seven behavior is, I am so grateful for being able to do this work that I love. I realize that this, you know, fear of prosperity and dissociating from this prosperity and feeling like that's not me, it precluded me from feeling grateful that I get to do this work that I love and that I get to experience this prosperity. Another one for me on my step six work is feeling embarrassed feeling embarrassed about earning, feeling like, bitch, I shouldn't be earning this because I have these, you know, I had these old feelings of like, that's not fair to other people. If I'm earning, then someone else isn't earning. But my new step seven behavior is that I get to say yes to earning, and I get to be of service to other people through my work, and I also get to, you know, maybe even support other people in program and outside of program to earn in their vision. So I guess I'll end with, I'll wrap up and say that I am so incredibly grateful to this program, and I'm so incredibly grateful for everyone who is on this call and for people who will listen, because we can't do this alone, and I need other people to show up for their program in order to continue to recover, because I have a long way to go. And I'm in kind of like this, you know, I'm in a place where I'm suffering and there's a lot of pain. I'm wrapping up. Even despite the prosperity, but I know that I just need to keep showing up and I need to lean in to my program. So I'm so grateful. Thank you so much.
Oh, Mary Jane, thank you so much for your share. And thank you to all three of our speakers. I will now end the recording so we can be open to sharing.